Welcome to Pet News. I'm Melissa from Pets on Cue. This week, I talked to two professional pet influencers who are producing wonderful content with their pets, with costumes. We learned their tips for success along with tricks every aspiring pet influencer should know before picking up a camera. May is National Pet Month, and there are tons of amazing holidays everyone can gain inspiration from when creating unique content. In this episode, first I speak with Christine from the account Chilberg. This is a multi-pet, multi-species account with two dogs and a tortoise.
Things like environment and props and costumes, it can change how your animal feels. Like, right. Your pet might know sit and stay and shake and roll over all day. But if you change the setting, if you put a jacket on them or some shoes or some sunglasses, that is so different for your dog. They might not even perform the trick at all that you're so confident they know.
Then I speak with Grace from the account Parker and Lily. This is a multi-cat account with three cats and three very different personalities.
They don't feel like posing on a particular day, then we don't shoot that day. We might try again like 2 days later to see if they're okay with it.
Please join us this week as we learn some great insider info on Pet News.
So hi, Christine. Welcome to our podcast. How are you?
Good. Hi. Thank you for having me.
We are so glad to have you. So today I'm speaking with Christine Hilberg, and she is the human behind the account Chilberg on Instagram. And what other, are you on any other platforms besides Instagram?
I am on YouTube. I am on Facebook. I am on TikTok, but nothing is as strong as our Instagram game.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I'm excited to have you here today. And how are you doing with all these crazy things going on in the world right now? How are you holding up?
I'd say I'm different minute by minute.
Yeah, that's pretty right on.
But honestly, this stay-at-home order is not that much different than my normal routine. I'm pretty much home all day with my pets anyway. So I think I've adjusted a little easier than most people I know.
Awesome. Awesome. Have you noticed a change in your engagement or any kind of, you know, uptick in your numbers as far as having people home, or has it affected your account at all?
I definitely have people responding to my DMs and sending me DMs more. I feel like I'm getting a quicker response from friends, and even I've reached out to just brands just saying like, hey, I love your what you're doing and keep going. And I feel like I'm getting these like instant responses. So yeah, I definitely feel like people are online more. And it might also be because I'm online more and I feel like I'm putting more content out because literally I have nothing else to do. So,
so it could be a great time to be an influencer, really, you know,
it's a great time. And like you said, National Pet Month is coming up. Exactly. So it's kind of the perfect time to make your pet an internet star.
That's awesome. Now your account stands out to me, you know, because I mean, obviously, because Pooka's amazing and Larry, and you have a dog and a turtle and this foster puppy with Willie. But really, one of the things that really sets your account apart, I believe, is your use of costumes and hats and like fun props and stuff, you know. And I wanted to kind of speak to that today, if you would, and talk about maybe some of your personal tips and tricks and how you get the performance you need out of your animals, or do you? Is it all just, you know, is it all just faked? And do we just think
smoke and mirrors?
You make it, because you make it look so easy because your pictures just jump off the page and they're so much fun. And like, you know, it just, it looks easy the way you present it. I'm not saying it's easy at all, but so I would love to maybe delve into that a bit if you're, you know, comfortable, because as you said, it's National Pet Month in May. We want to get lots of people out there making cute content, using props, costumes, if their pets like it, if they can, and you know, who better to talk to than you?
Yeah. And we're all in like a really weird state of mind right now, and nothing makes people happier than seeing cute pictures of animals. So
it's true. 100%.
Like, I do have some rules when I take pictures of my pets, or even if other people want to take pictures of my pets. Okay. So I would love to share some of the guidelines that I kind of personally follow. And I think that's why it comes off as easy or natural, because if you kind of just stick to what you set in place for yourself, it just makes it so much smoother. So
awesome.
My number one rule for any type of animal photography is safety. So you have to make sure that whatever your idea is, it does not compromise your pet safety. So busy streets, I see tons of people like on vacation and they put their pets, you know, right at the edge of the lookout. Anything that could be potentially dangerous for you or your pet, like it's just, there's no photo that's ever going to be worth that. And, and there, I don't really care how confident you are in your pet. Anything can go wrong. So just keep that in mind. Like, is this worth it? If you're out in like a public place, like stay on the trails, like stay, you know, like just stay safe and keep your pet safe. My other rule, and a lot of people don't know this, is like keep your pet on leash. So it's super easy these days to hide little tiny traffic leashes behind their neck. You can have it dangling down whatever prop, or, you know, Photoshop's your friend too. Like, just keep your pets safe and know their threshold. There's a lot of situations I would never put my foster puppy Willie in. I know she won't perform well. I know she's not going to be happy. I'm never going to get a good picture out of it. And she's going to be scared. So if your dog doesn't like water, you know, don't put them in the water. If they don't like loud noises, don't do it at, you know, the busiest street in Hollywood. Just keep that in mind. If you know your pet's threshold, you will always most, or I shouldn't say always, you will most likely be successful in that shoot. My other thing is, if you can, and trust me, you'd be surprised how many friends would, or even your spouse will say yes. But if you're, I guess these days it's a little harder, but if you're living with someone, like ask them for help. I always think like two eyes is better than one, especially when you have a tortoise and a dog who have two different personalities. It's hard for me to pose them, make sure I have everything I want, and then I'm taking the picture and I have to make sure there's no skateboarder coming down the street, whatever. So that's my number one. Just keep that in mind. The second thing with my pictures is you have to plan ahead. Like, you have like people get these ideas and then they want to do it in a second and then it doesn't go right. And then, like I said, it doesn't seem easy. If you just take the time to be like, okay, I have this idea, plan it out. Taking pictures of kids is, or of animals, is a lot like kids. So you have a, you have a very short window of time to work with. If anybody knows this, it's you. So if
There's Puka in the background.
Yeah. She's like,
she's chiming in.
She's like, my mom knows. 5 minutes, I'm out.
I love it.
If you if you're not gonna keep your photo shoot quick and fun, like your dog's totally gonna check out or get frustrated or bored. So just picture, like, what do you want your dog to do? And you want them to be smiling? Do you want them to be waving? You have to like visualize what it is you want, because that then goes into my next rule, is before you shoot it, you should practice. So if if I'm gonna put a hat on Puka and, you know, have her waving at the camera, I should definitely practice that exact action before I ever put her in my photo shoot. Otherwise, she might be confused, or I might get frustrated. The point is once you have a plan, you should practice. So during the practice shoot, like, I put a hat on Puka and then I give her a treat. I take the hat off, I give her a treat. Like, the whole thing is a fun exchange. And then in 2 seconds, she's like, wearing this hat is pretty freaking cool, you know? And then
Right. So you're using positive reinforcement with just time with you plus with food. So that really hits it home that, like, hey, this is a fun experience. I want to do this.
Right. And all of these things are really short. Like, this is easy to do. People are like, oh, this is so much planning and time. Honestly, these are minutes. It's like minutes of my day. And then I'm confident when I actually do the photo shoot, Puka's already worn the hat. She knows exactly what I want her to do, and she knows she's going to get a reward after. There's no question in the middle of the shoot. Things like environment and props and costumes, it can change how your animal feels. Like, your pet might know sit and stay and shake and roll over all day. But if you change the setting, if you put a jacket on them or some shoes or some sunglasses, that is so different for your dog that they might not even perform the trick at all that you're so confident they know. That's why, like, you have to put all of the elements together for your pet. You have to make it super easy and comfortable. So if your pet doesn't wear clothes all the time, you got to practice it. My next thing is you have to have some type of reward system during your photo shoot. Like a lot of people ask their pet, a lot of their pets, and then they don't give them anything in exchange. And I mean, a house pet, especially, they're not going to understand the point of doing that over and over and over. And that's why I'm confident, like literally when I pull my camera out, Puka is so excited because she knows that there's either a toy involved, there are treats involved, there's something awesome that is associated with whatever I'm going to ask her to do. And it makes it fun. Awesome. Instead of like pulling out a jacket and then running away, they're like, this is so cool. Like every time I do this for you, you either throw a ball for me, or some dogs just like high praises. Like some dogs aren't food driven. Like Willie, I just give her like the high screechy, I'm excited voice, and she's ready to like roll.
Okay.
Rewarding your pet during the photo shoot is super important. You got to keep it fun. I'm sure kids are the same way. If you're not like rooting them on, or saying like, yeah, after this, let's get ice cream or whatever, you know, they're probably like, gonna be like, I don't want to do this. The next thing is, so now you have all these things in place. You know exactly what you want your photo to be in your head. You've practiced it a little bit. Like your dog is pretty used to whatever hat you're going to put on them. And then the goal is like to keep it short and sweet. Like animals don't have long attention spans, especially my tortoise. When I put him in place, he's not going to sit still. Like he's ready.
Now let me ask you something. Do you practice with Larry the tortoise, or do you only practice with the dog and then the tortoise you just kind of hope for the best?
Well,
or do you actually
practice? Larry has a very minimum range of what he can do.
Right, which makes sense. He's a turtle.
But I will practice with Larry and Puka if they have to be involved together. So I've done things where I've wanted Puka to put her paw on Larry, like on his shell. Like they have to practice that. Larry, the only thing he knows what to do is to sit there and stare. And so there's unfortunately there's not a lot I can do with that. But with Larry, the fun thing with like when I was saying the reward, I even do that with him. Like if I want him to sit in place, I'll put a piece of like, you know, arugula or bok choy or strawberry, and he will sit there and munch on it. And like he's fine doing that. If I just put a hamburger costume on him and then set him there, he's going to probably want to walk off and go eat the sidewalk grass. So
yeah, absolutely.
And then my last thing besides just like keeping it short is like, if it's not going right, or if people keep walking in your shot, like just take a break. Like you don't have to rush it. Because you have to have like a good attitude. That's my last thing is like, if you're not going to be in a good, fun mindset, trust me, your pets will pick up on it. So like anytime,
of course.
You know, you work with animals all the time.
Yep.
They will pick up on your energy in a second. So if you're not prepared, if you're feeling rushed, if you're running out of time, like honestly, it's totally okay to reshoot. It's totally okay to take a break. I do it all the time. People have no idea how many reshoots I've done. They see a photo, I'm like, this is amazing. I'm like, yeah. it took me two shots. That's how crazy I am, guys. So like I haven't
set it up
twice.
Now, are there certain types of photos or certain types of costumes that your audience, that your fans seem to engage with more so than others, or are they kind of all just across the board? Like they just always,
it's kind of across the board. And I feel like it's a no-win situation. Like, you know, I put Puka in a Phantom of the Opera, you know, costume, and she's howling with the smoke machine.
I remember that.
And then I have people like, well, where's Larry? And you're like, ah.
You can never satisfy everybody.
Like, I feel like I'm always juggling, like, who's going to be the star and get the attention. But Puka's definitely the most comfortable and the most into it. So I try to just – she's usually my star child.
Definitely. I mean, well, and she has that star quality, too. I mean, she's just so crazy and so much fun and just so grateful.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many great things about Puka. So I just think that it really, you know, translates – across, you know, your pictures really come across as very fun, and you can see the love there. It's so great. Now, I wanted to go back to, you said to plan ahead. Now, how far in advance are you planning ahead? Like, are you planning months in advance, weeks in advance, or just
I literally mean just like a day. Like, don't, like, some people get an idea and then they want to do it right away. And I'm just, out of my experience, it usually doesn't work. Like, take a minute to just be like, hey, wait, what am I asking my dog to do? Can they do this? I recently did a fun quarantine video with Puka and a tape measure, and I was giving us 6 feet between us, basically. And I had a lot of close friends be like, this is so fun. I want to do this with my dog. And I was like, does your dog know how to, like, back up? Because I guarantee as soon as you put the tape measure out, they're going to run towards you because they don't want that by them. They're just like, what is that?
Right, but right.
It's something that Puka and I worked on before. It's a trick. She knows how to back up. So that's right. She wasn't really backing up from the tape measure. She was doing something that we worked on together.
A task. Right. Okay. So now, in terms of actually training your dog, you know, what are some basic commands that you think everybody should have in their repertoire if they want to try to attempt these kinds of photos?
Sit is number one. Like, if your dog can't sit and stay, you're going to have a tough time at doing a lot of photos. And if your dog can't sit and stay, then I definitely don't think you should take your dog in public places and do it.
Right.
So I would say that's probably the number one. It's super easy to work on. You can do it while you're, honestly, like, while you have the TV on the background. And so it's just...
Right. I mean, every dog should know sit and stay.
Totally.
Whether you're
But you'd be surprised how many dogs cannot sit on command.
Right.
The other thing that people don't work on, which I think is just, it's fun and it really helps in photos, is watch or look. You want your dog to look at you. Right? Especially if you're not in your house. Maybe they want to look at the squirrel in the tree or the guy walking down the street. So look and watch. That's a great one. Your dog looks at you and you have eye contact for, and like I said, photo shoots should be quick. You should have a plan. You should be in and out. Your dog shouldn't have to stare at you for five minutes. Like,
awesome. Well, I'm so excited to see, you know, the content that you keep putting out. And, you know, May is going to be great. There's a lot of things going on in May with it being National Pet Month, but also it's like World Turtle Days in there and Rescue Days. Like, there's so many animal-centric holidays now that are just always happening. So there's plenty of days in there that you can do some cool stuff.
I'm excited for Turtle Day. What am I going to do for Turtle Day?
I don't know, but you better plan something. Because now everybody's going to be waiting to see. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
It was so fun. I really appreciate it.
And it's so great to talk to you. And I'm glad things are going well. And, you know, we will keep in touch and talk real soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I mean, I like talking about animals, so.
I know you do. And your account is so great. So we like hearing, you know, what we can learn from you.
Thanks, Melissa. Thanks, Colleen.
I had so much fun talking with Christine. And now we have our next guest, Grace, who will tell us all about her experiences taking photos of her cats with costumes and props.
Hi, Grace. How are you?
Hi, Melissa. I am doing well. So happy to talk to you today.
I'm so happy to have you guys. We have Grace, who is the human behind the account Parker and Lily. And we're so excited to have you on the podcast today. And, you know, when one looks at your page as a fan or you know, an audience member, which I am a big fan of your page, you make it look so easy. You have these beautiful cats. They seem so well behaved. They're in costume. I mean, is it as easy as it looks?
I am always prepared with my phone or my camera nearby just to be able to capture those moments, because I think that those are the ones that are the most special and the ones that connect to people the most.
Absolutely.
Are the ones that are just, you know, off the cuff and they're just being themselves. Like, people seem to really enjoy the connection that we have with them. Mm-hmm. So if I can capture that by having my phone or a camera nearby, then we're good to go.
That's amazing. Now, how did you, you know, start with the costumes and hats and things? Because, you know, a lot of people don't think about putting cats in costumes? I mean, I think they're starting to now, but you know, previously, even a couple of years ago, it just wasn't as common. So how did you know that that was something you could do and wanted to do?
We actually just randomly tried it for the holidays when we first just had adopted Parker and Lily. We had adopted Lily just a couple of months after Parker, so they were fairly close in age, and I bought something and just thought, like, I wonder if they'd actually like it. And they did quite well right off the bat. Obviously, we try to pick items that aren't very restrictive, that seem comfortable, and there's not anything that would like scratch or irritate them. We're also very conscious of how it is that they react. If they don't feel like putting something on a particular day, completely fine with us. We will try it a different day. Their comfort and happiness is what is most important to us. So if they're not feeling it, we are okay with it. And if they do like it, then they're heavily rewarded with so much love and affection and treats. And, you know, they know that they trust us. They know that we wouldn't do anything to make them uncomfortable. So we totally take our cues from them.
That's amazing. So you really kind of let them decide if it's something that they want to do. And I think that's really important for people at home to know, because if, especially with cats, because cats are a very different animal than a dog or, you know, anything else in terms of just the way they are with their humans. They're super affectionate, super smart, but maybe, you know, I, at least in my experience, you know, I had a cat for 18 years, and even just trying to put a little tiny hat on her, she was like, are you kidding me? You know, she just was not into it. So I never did, you know what I mean? So yeah. I just think they're a little bit different mindset, you know?
I totally think that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, like, we definitely don't think all cats are comfortable with it. Your cat will tell you whether or not they are okay with it.
Right.
That's how we make the decisions about whether or not they're.
Yeah, cats don't hold costumes. Back, do they?
No, they do not. If they do not want to wear it, they are not going to wear it.
They're not going to wear it. And that's okay. Yep. That's okay. That's great. This next month, May, is National Pet Month, which is a big month for everybody, you know, with a pet. And there's some really awesome holidays within National Pet Month, like Mother's Day, for instance, and Memorial Day, you know, National Nurses Day, National Wine Day, things like that, that can be really fun in terms of content creation to give people ideas, you know, for things to maybe post or whatever. Now, how aligned with holidays does your account get? Or do you mostly save it for, you know, Halloween and Christmas? Or do you look ahead? Like, how far ahead do you look and how do you plan it out? Because again, your page, it looks effortless, but there's a lot of different things going on there that just look so professional. So I just wonder how much you put into it. I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, if we do plan on producing something that is related to a costume, we want to make sure that we're purchasing those items a month in advance, because again,
really,
it takes time to see if it will actually work, if they actually like it, if they're comfortable in it. And then also, as I said, like, they drive the content. So if they don't feel like posing on a particular day, then we don't shoot that day. We might try again like 2 days later to see if they're okay with it. So it's not necessarily something that we can just do overnight. We do plan for it to make sure that we have everything that we need when it comes to the specific holidays, and then to ensure that they're comfortable, because we want to make sure they're happy.
Absolutely. That makes so much sense. And so, you know, as you're going through things, what rewards do the cats like the best? Are they mostly food driven? Do they like, you know, attention and belly scratches, catnip? How do you use a reward system to get, you know, the look or the performance you want?
So we actually use clicker training with them.
Really?
Depending on what the activity is. So if they're actually like performing certain tricks, like our high fives, or, you know, when they're walking towards us in costume, we will use clicker training. But they're all fans of treats. Parker is the is the one that's the least treat driven. She actually really likes affection. I mean, Lily does too as well. But Jasmine, I know Colleen has worked with her before. She is so heavily treat driven. So she performs just on cue. It's great to be able to use as a motivator for them.
And so as you're going through things, do you have to train the cats to like sit and stay, you know, similar to a dog, or is it a whole different thing? Because I know your cats can high five, which I'd never seen before in a cat, to be honest, other than a set trained cat, you know? And so, you know, what do you have a repertoire of, you know, those types of commands or things that your cats have been trained to do?
Yes, they're all trained to sit. They're also all trained to come here. So, you know, we'll point with a target stick so that they know where they're supposed to go. So yeah, wow. It's something that we started not specifically just to produce content, but also to engage with them because, you know, as house cats, they rarely go outside, but obviously they need the stimulation and the interaction with us. And it's one of the fun ways that we can interact with them. And you should see Lily when she's training, she is so ridiculously excited. Her like tail goes straight up in the air and is shaking because she just wants to show that she can do the thing that we want her to do so badly.
That's awesome.
It's so cute.
That's amazing. Well, so now just tell me, how do you start to teach a cat to sit? Let's start with that basic command, because I could never really get my cat to do much of anything other than come when I called her if I had, you know, food. So that's just fascinating to me.
Well, there are different methods that you can use to train. One that we had picked up on was actually using the target stick and putting it right above their head so that they look up to see it, which means that they're sitting down. So then once they sit and we associate, then we start associating the word with that trick. Then we start moving away the clicker and just putting our hand above and then progressing to just using the word. And of course, after each iteration, a treat is given to reinforce not only with the click, but also that tangible food treat.
That's amazing. And about how long does it take, you know, to master something like that for one of your cats?
Oh, for all three cats, I think they learned that trick within a week. It wasn't very difficult. It was just making sure that we could reinforce that behavior. Mm-hmm. Because as I mentioned before, both Lily and Jasmine are quite food driven. So to be able to interact with us and do the thing and have, I feel like they know that it makes us happy when they actually do it. So just like, it's that reciprocal relationship that we have, like we're making each other happy with this.
Right. But, so really it comes down to connection too. That's a big part of it, right?
I definitely feel that way. I think that it is a relationship that we've built with them, that trust and that understanding that, you know, we are doing something together. We're interacting together. You guys are part of our family. Like it makes me happy.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and again, you're engaging with them on such a different level where you're actually stimulating their mind in such a different way, where they're learning a task, getting a reinforcement, whether that's a treat or, you know, more affection. And that's just, again, I would think solidifying your bond, you know, with each of your animals. And I think that's fascinating, especially with cats, again, because they're so smart, you know, but I don't think a lot of people with house cats even think to teach them to sit or shake or, you know what I mean? But I think hopefully now, you know, more people are getting into that and bonding with their cats on that level, because I think that's really cool. Is there anything else you wanted to tell our audience about how you take photos or how you get the shot or any other tips and tricks that you maybe wanted to share?
I think the most important thing that we could share is that, you know, we try to let the cats drive our content. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they are doing something silly, then that's what we're going to capture. If they are wanting to, you know, all sleep together, like people really enjoy them being natural. So I feel like allowing them to drive the content is what makes our page what it is.
Right.
It's really centered on them. I know a lot of people reach out to me and want to know more information about myself and my husband, but we really, you know, we tell them like, this isn't about us. This is about them. Like we want to share them and what makes them special. They're all three of them are rescued animals, all adopted from local shelters. And part of what we really want to emphasize on our page is that shelter animals are warm and loving. They just need the time and the attention and the patience, and they can bloom into these, you know, these creatures that have warmed hearts all over the world. Literally.
Oh my gosh, literally. Yes. You guys are crazy viral right now. I mean, you're experiencing awesome, you know, feedback to your page because it's awesome. But right now, especially, it's just been really great to watch. You know, you guys just really take the world by storm.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It really, is a huge motivating factor for us to know that we are bringing joy to people during such a difficult time for everyone across the world. So if we can bring in just a little bit of sunshine, that just makes our day.
That's awesome.
So we're definitely very grateful for all the interactions that we get, and are glad to be able to do something positive.
Right. Well, we're so grateful for you guys. And, you know, again, everybody listening out there, this is Grace from Parker and Lily on Instagram. And what other platforms are you on at this time?
We actually just started a TikTok account this month. We haven't shared that on our Instagram page yet, just because we are still trying to figure out TikTok and wondering like what people actually want to see. I mean, one of the things that was a huge learning for us is understanding that the audience is slightly different across all the different platforms. Yes. So, you know, on YouTube, people want more informative content. They want more long form content. So we try to cater to that. On our Facebook page, there is, you know, a slightly different audience. I think what we've seen is it's an older audience than our Instagram and our TikTok. So just trying to make sure we try not to repeat our content across the different channels. So just really trying to understand our audience and see what they respond to, so that, you know, we're giving people what they want has been great for us.
That's great. Well, and then I guess it keeps you on your toes creatively. If you are, you know, trying to create content that's different for each, you know, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, then that makes it interesting for you guys as well as the creators, so that, you know, it just, again, keeps you on your toes and you never have a dull moment, I'm sure.
It's so funny too, because there's so many different tools that are available. I mean, that's what we're learning on TikTok now, is like, there's so much that you can do there already built into the application. So there's a learning curve for sure, but I'm excited to see what it is that we can create on that platform.
That's amazing. Well, we're super excited to see what you guys come up with there as well. And I just want to thank you again so much for being here on our podcast. And, you know, at Pets on Cue, we just really value your partnership and just excited to have you be a part of the team. So thanks again so much. I'm Melissa from Pets on Cue. Thank you so much for listening. Grace, have a lovely day.
I want to thank my guests again for being on the show today. You can check out their Instagram accounts at Chilberg and Parker and Lily. That's all for this week, but make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Pet News.